Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning, man. Thanks for getting up early, joining us. Tell your friends about it here, will you? Post it on Facebook. In fact, you ought to right now go on Facebook or Twitter or Twatter or Twitter, whichever one of those things you use, and tell people they need to tune in today because they're going to hear some very, very serious information. They probably haven't heard it other places. Linda Harvey with Mission America is going to join us here. So I'll give you time to do that. Share right now. Share it. Take the link. Share it. So they can jump in here with us. I got something that absolutely blew me away. Are you guys sitting down? I know you are. I know you are. And I just sat on my couch last night, and I looked down, and I couldn't believe what I saw. And, folks, you guys yesterday sent enough money to buy David Arthur a car.
Amen.
You guys did. You understand that? You guys did that. You guys did. I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, I check where the donations come in. And after the show was over, there was some in there. Immediately, there was some in there. I thought, man, this is good. And I thought it was going to have to be a long-term project to raise money for David, help David get that car. And it's unbelievable. You guys are unbelievable. And, I don't even know if David's in here today. And I know what his heart would be. And we got to keep David Arthur in the game, man. And his car is kaput. Now, listen, I haven't totaled it all in. If more comes in than was required for the car, then I'll make sure that it gets to David some way, whatever. We're going to take good. We'll be good stewards of the money that you've sent in. But I want you to know that some of you sent in big hunks. I just couldn't believe it. God bless you guys for doing that. And you say, well, Coach, then I'm not going to send mine in. Well, then it's okay. Folks, we always try to help people like that. We always have needs. If it would be okay with some of you guys, I might scholarship some people to come to hear Russ Dizdar later on if there's some left over. Whatever. I want the money to go where you guys sent it. But I just want to tell you it was unbelievable. Linda Harvey's with us today. Russ Dizdar is with us tomorrow. Russ Dizdar, live and in color and in person, going to join us tomorrow. And don't forget the event coming up that you can live stream that event coming up on April, might get my brain working here, 24th or 25th, I think it is. Live stream still available for only $30 if you want to do that. I have people, I'm hurrying, okay? Yes, I'm going to be in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to be in Austin, Moody, Texas this weekend at Chad's event, which is almost a sellout. Chad, you want to say anything about that? Are you in here today, bud? I don't know if he is. He's probably half asleep. But it's finally up there. April 18th, next weekend, I'm going to be in Boston, where the shot heard around the world was fired on April 19th, wasn't that when it was? And they do a little ceremony out there, and I've been invited to where the shot heard around the world was fired. Have you guys ever been to Lexington, Massachusetts? And seeing that, where on one side of the field it says, Captain John Parker said, don't fire unless fired upon, but if it's war they want, let it commence here. So it's a stone. And then on the other side of it was another big pillar that says, from this point we'll mark the liberty of the world, where the shot heard around the world was fired. If you've never been there, man, it's pretty. Well, it happened this weekend and next weekend, and we're going to be there for that. So people ask me a little bit about the particulars of what's going on there, and Polly or somebody posted them up there today. I don't really have all the particulars, okay? But they're still being developed. I'm going to be there the 17th, Saturday night, Sunday, and Monday. Well, Michelle and I will be in Boston. I said Michelle and I because I'm going to twist her arm and make her go with me on that one. And then one other thing, maybe. Oh, I got to show this. You know, Bear with me a second here, Linda. The truth is stranger than fiction. As you guys know, I showed the video yesterday about the changing of math and math not right. Because there is no truth in America anymore. Is it? Truth has become an opinion, and truth has become whatever you want it to be. And hey, Silver, I'm not making this up, dude. I am not making this up. I clicked on the first thing I saw on internet today. Math is racist. Click on that real quick, Spencer. Throw that thing up on the screen. Truth is stranger than fiction. Look at this on your screen. Oregon Department of Education pushes a course claiming math is racist because it requires a correct answer. I am not making this up. In the class called A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction, they say that even though math does have facts to it, I'm just giving you a paraphrase, even though it does have facts to it, when people come up with the wrong answer, it is part of the white supremacy culture. I'm not making this up, friends. And if you know, the last few weeks we've talked about what? We don't teach truth anymore. Truth's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Truth has nothing to do with it. And it's part of the assault on America. Do you know this? When the left tells us Bruce Jenner is a woman, you know they don't believe that, right? Folks, tell me you know that. They don't believe that. They get joy out of convincing you to believe it. That's where their power comes from. So the Oregon Department of Education promoted an online course that claims math is racist because it requires a correct answer. There it is, man. We talked about that yesterday, didn't we? I hadn't seen this. I swear I hadn't seen this till today, right? Now I got another good one, then I'm going to bring Linda Harvey in. Yeah, yes, trannies in prison, huh? Trannies in prison. 255 transgender prisoners request transfer to women's prison under California law. Now, folks, look down here. I'm not making this up, 255 California state prisoners have requested to move from a male to a female corrections facility. And then look, they are actually passing a law. SB 132 says all transgender, non-binary, or intersex. Linda, are any of those things even real? Transgender, non-binary, or intersex must be addressed in a manner consistent with the incarcerated individual's gender identity and housed at a correctional facility designated for men or women based on the individual's preference. Folks, this is like right out of the Twilight Zone, isn't it not? And then they tried to tell us that 1%, you ready? 1% of the prison population is transgender. That's what they, isn't that where they started with homosexuality? Wasn't it 1%, 40, 50, 60 years ago? Huh? Oh my goodness. Linda Harvey, Mission America. I feel really guilty because I've never had you on, Linda. And I've told everybody, I was sitting around on Palm Sunday, or was it Aegis Sunday? One of those mornings. And I read a commentary that you'd just written. And I said, oh my goodness, why have I not had Linda Harvey on a show? And I want to say this because every time I have a conversation with Linda, I thank her for doing a man's job. Linda Harvey is doing a man's job. What do I mean? She has been on the forefront, folks, for 20 years, 25, 30 years, fighting against this homosexual, gender, sexual deviant agenda for a long, long time. And Linda, there have to be times when you want to sit around and just kind of fold your hands and say, see, I told you so. Told you so. Linda, just take here a couple minutes and tell us how you got in this and how many times you've tried to get out of it.
Every day. No, not really. I'm very honored, actually, to be doing what I'm doing. But you're right, as with you, It's tough, and everybody else out there who's standing strong, and it's gotten tougher in the last 10 years, and in the last year, really tougher. But the reason I got into this is it didn't just happen. You know, like a lot of things God does, he walks you carefully into it. And if you knew where you were going, you'd probably never take that first step.
That's right.
By the time you're there, you're ready for it. So I was a liberal agnostic, you know, not wildly liberal, not like you see today. And God just tugged on my heart, and much longer story, I won't go into it, but in the early 1990s, I became a believer. And then I changed my worldview about politics, about the culture, and realized that I had contributed, you know, to some extent to what was going on. I was never very interested in politics, never very interested in the culture wars, a little bit here and there. But I started to dive into it. And then in 1995, we started Mission America as a nonprofit organization. And my first thought was to have a printed newsletter and send it out, because I was in advertising and public relations, and I knew how to do newsletters and all that. And we got a mailing list of a few people, mostly in Ohio to begin with. And then this thing called the internet surfaced. And my husband said to me, "You really ought to have one of those website things. You know, we really ought to do that." And I said, "Oh, that sounds so complicated." But he talked me into it, and we got on the internet, and, you know, one thing led to another, and the platform just expanded. And then I've been on the radio in Columbus on WRFD, you know, the Word Columbus, for now 12 years. So
what pulled you into it, Linda? What was your first inclination? Something had to happen.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, somebody's got to do something about this.
Well, that's what happened. I started reading and listening, actually, to Christian radio, because I had a long commute at that time. This was in the early 90s. And I started learning about, you know, the pro-life issue. And I had been, you know, pro-choice before that. And at one point, I was even a volunteer for Planned Parenthood in the 70s. Yeah, for a short period of time. And praise God, I moved and I never reconnected with them. So it was just a little snippet of a window. And so my first thing I changed my heart on was the life issue. And then homosexuality, that was a tough one, because I kept thinking, because even back in the 90s, they were telling you, this is these people's choice and they can't help it, a certain percentage of them. And even if they could, then it's only a small percentage, and what do you care? It only involves them. It doesn't involve anything. What I began to see was that what the culture accepts is what you get, what eventually becomes what you teach to your children. And then when you teach children sexualizing them early in that way or any way, you end up with barbarians. And look at Antifa. Look at the radical Black Lives Matter movement. Look at where some of these kids are, and I would guarantee you, in fact, if you look at Black Lives Matter's Who We Are page, which they took down, I think, too much information recently, they knew they were getting pushback on that. It's all about homosexuality, transgender, you know, overcoming heteronormativity. There's not a lot about race. It's all about counteracting the police, law and order. And where does this come from? This comes from a deep place of rebellion, and sexual anarchy is contributing to that. So we're raising children as barbarians as we introduce all of this to kids. So that every time I think about quitting, I raise my hand and I think, God, please give me the energy to keep going, because
Amen.
There are not a bunch of people out there wanting to take this. Although I think the last year has raised up a lot of people.
Linda, it's not just Tommy and Billy living together wanting to plant a garden, is it, Linda? And that's the image they've sold us, right?
Right, right.
It's not that at all, folks. And Linda, as we move into this, folks, Linda, I know that you have the same story we all have. When you got started 30 years ago, and you said, "Man, listen, I just have got to get to the pastors. If I can just get to the pastors and tell the pastors what's going on," they will rise up and tell us that story, Linda. What happened?
Well, yeah, right. What happens is that they don't want to deal with this issue. They really don't want to deal with this. And some of it, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. Some of it is they don't want people to be too offended and leave the congregation, just like the life issue, but they're even worse on homosexuality and gender confusion. People have people in their families, and they don't want people rising up and leaving. But the other thing is they don't take the time to even learn about it. So I think many of them feel ill-equipped to deal with it, with, you know, confronting some of the major parts of it. But that's easily overcome. If your heart is into it, you just get up to speed a little bit and read. The word of God is what convicted me, because when I read Genesis 19, the radical, predatory, sexually deviant gang that was at Lot's door was young and old from every quarter. It wasn't just a little 5% over here. It was not, wasn't a little, you know, self-contained group of, like you said, two guys, you know, starting a hair salon. It was predatory. It was young and old, and it was rich and poor. So, you know, this is what we're seeing.
So Linda, you recognized very early that they were after our children.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, Linda, and what a hard time you have trying to awaken people to the education and the schools and everywhere you looked, they were after our kids.
Yeah. And that's been the other thing. The other thing I thought when I first got into this is, surely if more people are out there of making parents aware, they would get involved in the schools and either take their children out of the public schools or in Christian school, you know, Christian schools or homeschooling, or they'll get involved and they'll fight and we'll defeat the teachers' unions. No. What I found is that the supposedly LGBTQ agenda, which encompasses sexual anarchy, I guess is the better way to say it, is in our schools to convince kids increasingly that it's inborn, there's nothing you can do about it, that it doesn't really, it's not really harmful. And if you have those inclinations, you're born that way, just accept it. And anybody who comes against you is fill in the blank, everybody, racist. And here we see all the agendas now this year coming together.
Linda, yesterday, Linda, I had the opportunity to speak through a Zoom meeting at Thomas Worthington High School. It was Polly Ratt. I've been there a time or two.
Next week, yeah.
So, you do it through Zoom. And you know what I saw yesterday? It grieved my heart again. I tell people every time I go, the Christian kids who are in the public schools, there are some, I believe. They have no biblical worldview. They have absolutely no understanding of a biblical worldview. Folks, it's grieves you. Because some will identify themselves as Christian, but then when you challenge them with a very strong Christian truth, they waver on it. They waver because we've been taught what? To be tolerant, diverse, accept everybody, love everybody. Who are you to judge? And boy, our churches have really, really failed us. Linda, if you hang on a second, David Arthur, have you met David Arthur, Linda?
I've been on his program several times. I'm very honored. On mine, so yes.
David's in here today. Come on in, David. And by the way, David, they bought you a car. I don't know if you heard that or not. We raised enough yesterday to pay for that.
Hallelujah. Wow, thank you so much. You know, another thing that keeps them from talking about it is that there are pastors and deacons and elders that are struggling with this very thing, right? Because I remember when I went into a congregation and I spoke, and I saw a man, and he sat down in front of me, and I knew him, and he didn't know me. But I knew when they showed the pictures of the old me on the screen behind me, because he turned about 18 different colors. He was a rainbow, and then he started sweating and walking around. And on my way out, the pastor introduced him as the deacon. Yeah. So it's a struggle right within the church. Mm-hmm. People are struggling with these demons. And I mean, that's just the way it is. These are demons that are affecting everybody. And that's what we have to realize. So it's not always they just don't want us to offend people, although mostly that's what it is. But Linda, I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And I hope you're going to talk about your books today, and I just want you to know I appreciate you and all that you're doing, and I am touched. I'm moved. Sorry, I'm at the pool.
David Arthur is a weapon, Linda. He's a great, great weapon.
He is, and I appreciate him. Yeah, David, you are a mighty man. So.
And so, David, you get, this group of people here, David bought you a car yesterday, Linda. That's what we were talking about. David's car just went kaput. And we said we had to raise nearly $9,000. And these people in this queue yesterday came. Isn't that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable, huh?
Thank you. I can't say thank you enough. I actually am going to, when I stop this evening, I'm heading home. Thank you so much. And when I stop this evening, I'm going to create a little something for everybody. And then pop on Coach's show tomorrow and have a few words for everybody. I'm moved. I'm truly moved.
Hey, thank you. Quit stealing all of our time here, David. By the way, Linda is a prolific writer. She writes at WorldNet Daily. She's written some books. Folks, listen, she is elbow deep, knee deep, waist deep in this homo. She's one of the most hated women in the history of the homosexual agenda. I promise you that, right? And so Linda, how do you handle that kind of thing? Rochelle, I'll get you in a second. Roger, just a second. How have you handled all that, Linda? Because I jokingly say you're doing a man's job, because you really are.
Well, you know what, Coach, you and I have had that conversation years past. And my issue is that if there were more people involved in this, and yes, ideally males would be, you know, the ideal, I would quit in a second. I would love to go back and just bake cookies. I would love to be able to do that and spend more time with my grandchildren. It's just not going to happen. And God lays things on your heart for different reasons. So I think in today's culture, women can say and speak in some ways that perhaps, you know, men can't, although I would prefer much more male leadership in this. I really would.
Amen. It's difficult, man. Nobody wants to take those slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, man. We know that.
Right.
Linda, if you hang on here a second, Linda, I'm gonna ask you, and I'm gonna let Rochelle come in here and Roger ask you a question. I want to come back, Linda. I want to know about this middle school's ground zero for indoctrination of children. Let's hear about that. Rochelle, come on in real quick. Rochelle's in Florida.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Linda, for coming on. This is so relevant. And Coach, what a great segue to what I was going to talk to Linda about. So just yesterday in my email from Seminole County Public Schools, I get an invitation to Dear SPS Middle and High School Families, we'll be presenting our first ever virtual LGBTQ Youth Summit, blah, 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 see flyer. So I responded them very quickly and said, will the Seminole County Public Schools also be hosting a male and female youth summit? You know, for those who identify as straight, this event is appalling. Why don't you equip our youth with some truth instead of your destructive behavior and disguise it as an inclusive plan when you leave out the majority? Shame on you all for deceiving our youth into a lifestyle that can only lead to the extinction of humanity, since science proves it takes a biological male and biological female to ensure the survival of our species. And when my husband saw me doing this, he reprimanded me because I shouldn't bother with this. And it bothered him more that I cared about this issue than this issue. So we get pushback in our own homes for just being upset over this. Our tax dollars go to these schools. I don't even know what that question is, except my blood starts to boil and
I'm going to ask a question for you, Rochelle. Linda, this pretty typical reaction, wouldn't you say? What do you think is the reason for it? Linda, just take your hands off. Mind your own business. Just leave them alone.
Right.
Why can't you do that, Linda?
Well, here's the issue. You've seen with, again, the barbarians in the cities in the past year, a little picture of what you and I get and anybody else that stands up on this gets in their own communities, sometimes in their families. There's an intimidation factor that goes on. And the actual activists in the LGBTQ community are vicious. They have no tolerance. And they don't generally come after your property, although that's starting to happen. The more radical ones are starting to do things like the looting, the burning, and all of that. So we have to watch out for that. But they will come after you. It's an intimidation tactic. That's why all these companies are going along with this, I believe. That's why Major League Sports is going along with this agenda, I think.
They because know, the intimidation. Is that what you think, Linda?
They know how to make your life miserable. They will come after you. They'll come after your reputation. They will make up things about you. So that's the factor.
So that's why Coke came out in support of them. They want to sell a bunch of Coke bottles, but they don't realize that those of us who are anti this movement, whatever you want to call it, we're finally beginning to awaken. We're finally beginning to figure out how this game is played. And yeah. I think the pushback against Coke is going to be beyond what they even imagined it would be.
Right. I think that's right. I think the interesting thing is the past year has been miserable. The COVID thing, then the election fraud and all of this. However, think of how many people are sitting up in their seats now, furious.
Yes, ma'am.
They watched the cities being looted and burned and the Democrats do nothing. And finally, finally in August, Joe Biden deigns to say something while Kamala Harris is raising bail money for the looters. Okay. Then you got COVID shutdowns and the business issue. And I think Trump managed all that incredibly well as anybody could have managed it. And, then you have on top of that, the election issue. Think of what God is doing, however, to wake people up and say, here's the danger. So this is what happens. What you were saying is, why don't pastors get involved? Why don't parents get involved? They don't see the danger. They think that they can they're just going to be preaching in their pulpits and their nonprofit status will continue and their kids will go to schools and nothing will ever interfere with this. They have not seen that danger is coming and we are incredibly vulnerable.
Amen.
And sexual sin makes us more vulnerable than ever.
Wow. You know? Amen. Roger, come on in and then Naomi.
Linda, I have a pretty strong position, and I want to know your thoughts on this. I tell people, get out of the government schools, period. I don't buy into this idea of the Christian kid going in there to changing everybody.
Yeah,
I'm pretty strong in my own personal life and people I talk to. Get your kids out of the government schools.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Well, here's my thought about that. I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with you. Here's the situation. The reality is that there are a lot of people where families are divided, where mom would love to take the kids out of school. Dad wants kids to remain there for sports and all of that. Okay. Excuse me. I have to cough for a second. So because, and then there are divorce situations where people are divorced, not from their own choosing, where in the custody battle, you have, again, one parent household would love to homeschool the other one. They've got joint custody and they're saying, no way. That's just the little picture we have. What I'm trying to do both lines here. I keep saying in my radio commentaries, get your kids out of school, other schools if you can. But if you're going to stay in there, you have to fight. You have to fight. You have to be a visible warrior and you have to educate against the curriculum. And, you know, I think if we all abandon the public schools, of course, they would be empty because there are a lot of people that are professing Christians if they all acted like that. It is a very difficult situation.
It's one of the great failings of the church, folks. Right now, all across America, pastors and local churches could be holding homeschool co-ops. Children could be coming to the church every day to be educated. Right now, that could be going on. Right now, it could be going on. But the churches, the pastors are so overwhelmed. They don't catch the vision. So you're out there saying, well, what can I do? Well, go to your pastor and tell your pastor that you want to start a homeschool co-op at your church. Pastor, do you think there are other people in here who right now they're maybe not even in school? Some of them not even in school. Pastor, could we open this church up and have families come here and we work together to educate our children? We don't even think that way anymore, folks. We don't even think that way. And we're missing a great opportunity. Naomi, come on in.
Thanks for being with us, Linda. We recently have heard that there's a German doctor that is saying that fetal tissue is the male-female hormone DNA stuff that's in the vaccines that babies and young children are getting, and that it's helping to cause some of this confusion. Have you heard anything along that line?
I have not. I mean, here's my thought is I think that it's unlikely in the vast majority of cases that there's any biological or even environmentally caused reason for people to have same-sex attractions or believe the delusion that they are, you know, in the opposite sex body. I think the vast majority of the time what's happened is kids are sexualized early, either molestation or they're online with porn and they have no alternative to counteract the incredible sort of kerosene on that fire that starts to be lit way too early. Early sexualization of children is the main reason for people going into the audience.
You mean there's no gay gene, Linda? You mean they're not born that way? The kids in public school believe that, right? That they were born that way. There's a gay gene, right?
Lady Gaga and everybody's singing about things like that. I've said to people, I'll give you $10,000 if you can find me a gay gene. Okay. Offer still open.
Yep. nobody's going to take that offer.
And I'm not saying that they're born that way, because we have known several, and one of them told us on his deathbed he was diagnosed as bipolar, and he said if he'd been diagnosed as bipolar a long time ago, he never would have gone into that. But right. You know, with all the vaccines that the kids are getting at an early age now, you know, we thought, wow. Could that be an influence? It's possible.
I think, again, are we going to get some decent research on that that's valid? I hope so. That would be wonderful.
I don't trust the researchers anyway. Hey, if you could, real quick, Spencer, bring up the article, Middle School Ground Zero for Indoctrinating America's Children. As I said, Linda's a prolific writer. Linda, could you talk about this a little bit here? Middle school, that's what we're talking about. 12, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah, you know, I've been dealing with the issue of homosexuality in the schools for a long time. And to go back to Roger's point, one of the reasons to me, highlighting the outrageous aspects of what's going on to me is a great witnessing opportunity for people. And I think it actually is happening. People will read this stuff and quietly start withdrawing their children from the public schools. But middle school is one of the biggest times when there's all this indoctrination of all types is thrown at kids. And I was talking to a parent recently who was on my radio show, and she told me about her daughter, who was a really strong Christian and has remained so, and how she would come home every day from middle school just furious about all the rainbow stickers and all the environment in her school. And of course, it's not just on the sexuality issue either. It's on all the others, the pro-Islamic indoctrination, the critical race theory that's taking over everything. So middle school is a key place where they,
you know, look,
changing of children.
Linda, on your article, I'm looking at your article. It's up there right now. So the hallways were papered with LGBT rainbows and messages pushing love is love.
that's been happening recently is court decisions are now at the point where they are over a couple of years ago, where teachers and school staff in certain states like ours, Ohio, which is not a right to work state, they are no longer required to join the union as a condition of their job. You can get out of it. It takes a little paperwork issue, but you can get out of it and not any longer contribute to these left-wing causes. And the people that take the day off during the elections and go down and help all the left-wing candidates get elected. I mean, that's what the teachers unions do. They're a ground force for the Democratic Party.
And I will I'll defend Dale, bring you right in here just a second, man. I'm going to defend the average public school teacher, because the average public school teacher is like the average Christian. They're not going to make any waves, right? So I was a teacher. My wife and I, we were teachers. You were forced to join the union, although at the end we began to fought back and did not join the union. But you're forced to join the union. They tell you, listen, we'll give you liability. We'll protect your job, yada, yada, yada. You have to join it. And so they have every teacher's in there. The money is taken right out of their paycheck, and the money funnels into all these left-wing organizations. And you ask the average public school teacher, why are you part of the union? And they will tell you this. For the insurance, for the liability protection, so they don't even understand what their money's gone to. And by the way, as a guy who was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, the teachers union didn't lift a finger to help me. So that's bogus too. Come on in, Dale, Pastor Dale.
The Antichrist Liberal Union. Let's get that straight. They're nothing American, but there is no. I appreciate you, Linda. Fantastic. You know, keep the course. You know, there is no gay gene, homosexual gene. Then there is a racist gene. Then there is a Muslim gene or a Christian gene. These kids are indoctrinated. They are trained. They are brought up by their parent. That's how racism happens. Kids are indoctrinated and trained that way. Their parents probably might have been that way. And so when you take these little innocent children and you put them in a homosexual community, I was a drug addict. I wasn't born a drug addict. I became a drug addict. You know, that's that whole concept right there. So when they say that, that is an absolute phallus lie right there. But I appreciate the work. Once again, you're not born with a homosexual gene, no more than you're born with a racist gene.
People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? That's what, most of you know, I had a chance to speak at Thomas Worthington High School yesterday, and that's what I spoke about. Truth, just the truth, okay? Just the truth. Is a baby in the womb a human being or not? Can we just start there? See, we want people want to have, they want to believe their science. Their science. They don't want to know the truth. They want to seek out a position and then find somebody who's done some research to verify what they already believe. They are not interested in the truth. Are you born that way or are you not born that way? I just want to know the truth. Is Bruce Jenner a man or is he a woman? I just want to know the truth. Stop all this distraction and confusion. Just teach us the truth. That shouldn't be that hard, should it, Linda? Shouldn't be that hard.
It's not that hard. No, this is just basic. They're not interested in science, as we know. You're absolutely right. That's a great way to put it. They're interested in their science, which is a corrupted version of the truth. So
Linda, I asked him yesterday, I put a mask on. They're on the Zoom. I'm on the Zoom. I put my mask on and I ask them why they're wearing a mask. And what they say, all the scientists, all of the researchers say they work. I said, all of them? Listen, it doesn't even matter. You could bring an expert in. They don't want to hear it, right? They don't, because they want to believe their science. That's where, folks, people want to believe their son was born gay. It takes the pressure off of them. See, if their son was gay, come on. I'm sure there's some parents out there who are dealing with it. There has to be horrible guilt that comes along with that. Where did I go wrong? What did we do? Did I see a young kid? What could I have done about it? So the easiest thing to say is what? Well, they're born that way. It takes the pressure off, right? Now, listen, if you have a child that's gay, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't make them gay, whatever it is. But the idea that we all throw in the towel because they were born that way, That is surrender. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Bobby Lee, come on in, Bobby.
And we also can't forget about the Army, the psychological industry that builds and reinforces the myth of homosexuality, and by the people that just spent the last 4 to 6 years partying and butt naked in the college industrial complex, right?
Right, right. Yes, and then they come in and they all of a sudden they're school teachers, right?
Yeah, right.
They were out partying and getting laid and doing all that stuff. And the next year, they're this moral paragon inside your classroom teaching your children morality, right? Folks, we're lost. What do you say about that, Linda?
Well, absolutely. And you know, the issue is there's been so much teacher-student corruption and sexual assault lately. There's so many incidents of that. If you start looking at the individual media coverage of it around the country, the mainstream media, it's one of the many gigantic trends that are happening that the mainstream media doesn't cover. But if you look around the country, not only will you see teachers arrested for, you know, having sex with children, both opposite sex and same sex, but you'll also see lots of professionals and all kinds of people arrested for child pornography. Some of those are in the schools. And again, like you say, there are wonderful teachers out there. I know quite a few people who are in the schools, but many of them, if they're convicted about this, feel like they're up against an enormous bureaucracy that they can't do anything about.
Come on in, Joe Allen.
Yesterday, Coach, we was at the Killing Field Mill yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We had a vehicle came up. It all had rainbows and peace signs on it everywhere. Two females stepped out, wearing masks. You know my response.
Right.
I told them, I said, the mask is not going to save you. Why are you killing your child? They said, believe in the science. I said, really? You didn't believe in God, do you?
Huh?
Or your parents.
Or they don't believe it's a baby inside of them, right?
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah.
Believe in the science.
Believe in the science.
Hey, Linda, this is how I know that the devil is real. Those on the left, whether it be gay agenda, abortion lobby, you pick the topic. Boy, they're unified, aren't they, Linda?
They are, and it's amazing. It is satanic. The deception is like a veil of deception. It's like magic fairy dust that blinds people. But we know it's Satan blinding people because of their own sinfulness and their own desire to be approved by other people, to go with the flow, to have their own sin, and to not be accountable.
Amen. While Rochelle comes in, Spencer, bring up obscene book, Linda. I want you to talk about this children's hospital. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead. Come on in, Rochelle.
Yeah, I just real quick wanted to add that several years ago, the government was funding all this research to prove that there was a gay gene. And when they could not produce that research, they shut down the funding for that really quickly. And of course, squashed all information that was coming out about it.
Linda, right. What do you think? What's happened to science, you think, Linda? Has it gone to the highest bidder? Is that what's happened?
Well, what's happening in science is what's happening everywhere else. It's being corrupted by an agenda. And so you don't have any objectivity anymore. What you have is people that have a preset set of assumptions like evolution. And if you cannot veer outside that. So if you say anything you want to say has to be said with the idea that you're still going to defend evolution or else you won't get published.
Mm-hmm.
There's money behind this, but there's also a long history of anti-Christ thinking.
Amen. Amen. Roger, did you want to come in or did you just forget to take your hand down, brother? Yeah, I think Roger forgot. Linda, I got up on the screen right now. Did Nationwide Children's Hospital break Ohio law with obscene sex ed in Columbus? Not Children's Hospital, Linda. They're right at the top of the list on good science, aren't they?
Right. Well, you know, it's a mixed bag over there. There are people whose children have been helped and saved and you know, they deal with cancer and all wonderful things. On the other hand, then they have this kind of stuff going on. So what happened is Nationwide Children's Hospital has obtained a federal grant for sex education.
That means you're, folks, that means you're paying for it. Go ahead.
Right. And so they are now, they've placed that sex education, the implementation of it within the Columbus City Schools. 12 middle schools have a curriculum called Get Real, which is developed by Planned Parenthood. And this this curriculum has been evaluated by the National Center for Child Protection of Child, the Protect Child Health Coalition. I will get that right in a minute. And I'm in touch with those folks on a regular basis. And it this curriculum, Get Real, violates 15 out of the 15 harmful elements that they've identified for obscene comprehensive sex education. Has no business in our public schools because we have a law, 1999 law in Ohio, that mandates that abstinence until marriage shall be the expected standard. This is violating this law.
So, Linda, one of the great frustrations we have here at Coach Dave Live, at least I have here at Coach Dave Live, is who do we turn to, Linda? When we see these violations, all these things going on, who do we go to that will make it right?
Well, we do have a really, for much of the time, a conservative group of legislators. I mean, they don't do everything we want them to do at the state house. But right now, you know, Republicans dominate both both houses. So there is a fair amount we can get done there. Now, the issue is, what is it that lights up everything in this culture? It's publicity. And that's one of the reasons that I have decided over the years to focus on being a media voice.
And yes.
Because what we need to do is keep this out there, and then people need to go and make some noise wherever you think you can. Nationwide Children's Hospital is the site of one of these transgender clinics. They're making incredible amounts of money over the mutilation of children's bodies. We need to outlaw that in our state. We need to outlaw it.
Well, Linda, we just saw that they did, if I read it right, they did outlaw it down in Arkansas. And then Governor Asa, whatever the heck his last name, Hutchinson, he vetoed it. Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson vetoed a bill that was going to make it a crime to sexually mutilate minors.
There's good news. I read just this morning at, yes, what is it, 5 a.m. or whatever time I had to get up to get ready for your program. it just came in last night that they overrode his veto.
They overrode his veto. But again, folks, this is a Linda, what's from your standpoint, because you work behind the scenes politically, what's with these guys, Linda? Why won't they just dig in, stand up and say, I ain't moving, not going to move?
Right. So I have a very good timing because I have my next article coming out is about the GOP people that are approving of homosexuality, the log cabin Republicans, all the pro-homosexual, but they're also pro-life. So they draw the pro-life crowd in, but they're very soft on or even approving of homosexuality. I think it's money because they're big campaign donors behind this. It's also wanting to go along to get along. They do not want the crowd to show up at their house screaming, intimidation again.
So we need to show up at their house screaming. Is that what you say, Linda? That's kind of what we do here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's effective, is it not?
Yeah. Well, it is. It is effective because what happens is that they get called. The worst thing you can be called in this culture is a racist, number one, and a homophobe, number two. And there's almost no way you can. I mean, that's their the culture's values, there's almost no way you can counteract those once those labels have been put on you. So, but politicians want to, most of them, not all of them, want to slither out of that.
So, Linda, we have about 10 minutes left here. One of the things I don't like about talk radio, and I've criticized Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and all of them. I always said Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, was a color commentator. In other words, he never really impacted the game. He just explained the game to you. Here's what they're doing. It's like a guy sitting beside a play-by-play announcer, and they say, okay, Rush, what's going on there? He says, well, here's what the Republicans are doing. If you watch real closely, they're over here running this play, and they've made this adjustment. But look, then you got to look over here. Here's what the left's doing, and the left is doing. And so he gave us a great analysis of what's going on, but he never really gave us solutions other than vote for Republicans, right?
Well,
Linda, we need some solutions. We go. What do you suggest we do, Linda?
Well, I think we just need more of what we're doing right here, and we need more people to call and put pressure on them. Because when there is a call to action, which Rush, you're right, Rush never gives a call to action, like call Congress. I mean, the place would have melted down.
Right.
And, but there, it did melt down somewhat anyway. But places like American Family Association, when they actually put out a call to action, Congress melts down. So, I mean, really, we have those tools out there, and we just need way more of it. And what the conservative media is showing is that we don't need them. We don't need the mainstream media. Donald Trump got elected because of the conservative media. And so many conservative politicians have gotten elected because of conservative media. We don't need the mainstream media to endorse anything. We need to just keep going and do more of what we're doing.
Amen. Linda Harvey, Mission America is her website, missionamerica.com. I forgot to tell you this. She's right here in Columbus, Ohio. So those of you who are in South Carolina or wherever you might be, she's a hometowner here and working diligently behind the scenes. Linda, how do we build better coalitions? How do we do that? Because you know this and I know this. I have some great friends that are pro-life warriors. I have some who are involved in the homosexual agenda. I mean, they're working diligently doing a lot of different things, but Linda, we don't play very well together, do we?
Well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But I think one of the things that I think needs to happen is that people need to who are involved in these different groups is to resolve the money issue. Trying to support a family and raise money on these issues is very difficult to do. And for some of the bigger you get, and the more cumbersome and the more boards you have, and the more the fundraising thing drives lots of other issues. It also makes for competition between the groups. So that's been a frustration of mine about looking outwardly. I mean, I think being lean and mean is probably the best way to go.
Linda, you've always been a team player. You know, you've always been a team player. Mark Harrington, I can run down many who've always been a team player, but sometimes we raise our swords against each other and we lose the fight because, you know how it goes. Jack, yeah. Are you trying to get in here? Area code 207, your microphone's open. No?
Sorry. Yeah. We got to get involved, folks. We got to join. Just like this lady was just saying, we have to get involved personally and take a personal stand. We have to get on the board of the school board and take a stand. And we have to push hard because, just as you've said over and over, Dave, you can't just be on defense. You have to be on offense. You have to say, no, we're going to do it this way. Not, I object to what you're doing. Here's the plan to go forward, and I'm going to make it happen. We cannot be on defense. I can give you a perfect example of how we ended up with a homosexual in the GOP, Maine State GOP, right here in Maine, and it was very progressive. I complained because she was on the Trump committee, but, well, she's not really part of us, and now she's the head of finance for the Maine GOP.
Gary Dunlap.
Her and her wife. Helen or White.
Come on in, Gary. I see you.
Just wanted to comment earlier. You know, the left does work very well together. I just might want to add that some of those groups don't necessarily like each other. Just saying.
No kidding.
They don't work well together.
They figured out a way to work together. That's for sure. Linda, how can people who are watching right now? I've never heard of you. Never heard of Mission America. How do they get on your mailing list? How do they support you? What do you need most? This is a woke crew in here, man. This is a good group of folks, Linda. What would be your advice? First of all, how can they help Mission America and you? And what can they do locally? Linda, if if they are fighting this issue in their local communities, could they reach out to you? Would you be able to give them some help and some information?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, go to missionamerica.com, and there's a link that says contact us, and send me your contact information, and I put you on our e-newsletter mailing list. And then I just offer the content of our website. I have hundreds of articles on there, and within those articles are embedded links to all kinds of information. So if you're fighting this at your school board level, at your city council level, you'll find a lot of background there. And just feel free to reprint anything that's on our website. Just give us, you know, just attribute it to Mission America. But anything's free for that, or hand out anything, or lift it and take it to your school board, whatever you need to do.
Linda, you can promise them this, though, can't you, Linda? They're going to be hated of all men. If they dive into this, they better have their helmet on and their belt tightened, because it will be a war. The other team plays dirty, and they play for keeps, don't they?
Right. They call you names. And the best thing I can say is, most of the time, don't go alone. Find a buddy so you can be encouragement to one another. But just, if you have your background, just make a stand. God will honor a stand that you will make. He will honor that.
Hey, Linda, it may not feel like an honor at the time, right?
Right, exactly.
Rarely does it feel like an honor. Come on in, right. Jeff. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, I just want to let Linda know, I'll go today to the website. I've been to school board meetings. I've ran for school board, ran for county commissioner.
And you talked about the dirty books years ago.
Oh, yeah. I read one of them at a school board meeting when they fired John Freshwater. The book was How to Have Anal Sex for Middle School Kids. Mm-hmm. And the parents cringed. All the adults cringed. And my question was to them, why do you cringe when I read a paragraph out of this? But you let these middle school readers, it's right here. So the school board doesn't like me. Jeff, so I'll sign up.
Let me stop you there a minute, Jeff. Folks, I want you to understand what Jeff Klein did. He went into the middle school library, or had someone go in there for him, and got a book that was on the shelf in the middle school library. And he went and he read it at the school board meeting. Is that right, Jeff? You read it out loud at the school board meeting. What was the reaction when you did that, Jeff?
The news media was there. There was 250 people because they were firing John Freshwater. The next month there was 600 people, and I took the platform again in front of 600. We set up the tables outside of the school on the school property. Nancy McFarland has all them studies for years on these books. We set up the tables, had sheets there for parents to take. They all took the information. They were lined up, and we wanted them to get back with us, and we were going to do book reports on them to submit them to the schools, because they had 30 days to get rid of the books. Zero people contacted us. We had our information. None.
But Jeff, they got to get the picture, though. You stood up, and you read out of this children's book. Yep. At the school board, you didn't do anything other than read. And what was the reaction?
The paragraph I read, there was no cuss words, but it said, if you're going to have anal sex, start with a finger or two before you proceed to a sex toy. They lost it. They all started cringing. It just, the news media was there. The guys were just, they were just horrified.
And pastors told you that was not the time or the place to do that. Is that right?
Yeah, I got called out. I come out of the meeting. Pastor Dan says, Jeff, come here. I walked up. He said, now I'm going to tell you, that's not the way to handle that. I said, Pastor, you show me how to handle that, I'll follow your lead. He started stuttering and he walked off.
Amen. Amen. So, Linda, that's another whole thing, right? The stuff that's in the literature, it's in our libraries. It's just everywhere.
We could do a whole program on that. The libraries are full of garbage. If there was one reason to get your kids out of public schools, it would be because of the library content. But the biggest thing is parents have to monitor everything their kids are seeing everywhere anyway.
Roger, your hand's up, brother.
Oh, you know, I think one of the big problems, Linda, also is if majority of parents would go from their 3,200 square foot house down to a 1,500 square foot house, go from their brand new cars every 2 years to a new car every 10 years, they could afford to stay home. One of them, I don't care who it would be, mom, dad, or whatever, and be able to be more involved in the education of their kids. That's one of our big problems.
Exactly. You can't get this back. Once your children are corrupted, it's very difficult to uncorrupt.
Oh, my goodness. How many parents can say amen on that one, huh? Boy, if I knew then what I know now, folks, huh? Right. Man, oh, man. And you say we can't be surprised when we send them to Caesar to educate them and they come out of their little Romans. Linda, God bless you, man, for all you do. As we close out here, Linda, when the show's over, just hang with us a little bit because some of us will stay in here a little bit. Okay. Linda Harvey, Mission America, doing a man's job. Doing a man, folks, that's really what it is. We can't alert you enough, folks, out there, that you have got to get more actively involved in the education of your children, see what's in those libraries, what's being taught secretly. That's one of the real miracles that's going on now. Parents are watching some of the Zoom meetings that are going on as classroom, and they can't believe what their kids are learning in the Zoom meetings, right? We got to get involved. Hey, Linda, thanks for getting up early. You look pretty this morning.
Thank you.
You did a great job. We'll have you back, all right, dear?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Russ Dizdar tomorrow. Don't miss it. God bless you.